From the Land of Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 29th day of October 2018. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Todd Hubbs will be along in just a bit to take a look at the cash grain side of the marketplace, along with what's been happening with acreage and his predictions for 2019. And then we'll further that conversation by discussing how things are going here in East Central Illinois with the folks at the Andersons. And it all happens on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. And there you can purchase your tickets for the Farm Assets Conference. It's coming up on the 20th day of November. More on it in just a moment.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media for this Monday afternoon. Now, let's turn our attention to what happened in Chicago. Kurt Kimmel is here from Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, to help us divine where things are headed. I suppose if you could do that, you wouldn't be talking to us. You'd be somewhere else looking at a beautiful sunset eventually, because it would always be 5 o'clock for you, Kurt. How are you today?
Let me look into your future.
Well, that's what we need to do. And that's what the marketplace does all the time. Folks in the northern part of the state are definitely busy here. They're slowing down just a bit. What can you tell me about conditions across the Corn Belt?
Boy, it's miserable in some areas. Been fighting mud for quite some time, and these winds have just been terrible. I mean, we've seen this corn go virtually flat in some areas. There's fields, you know, reported doing 250 bushel acre. Now they're down to 200 bushels to the acre, just not able to get it all picked up off the ground. So they're going to have a terrible mess next year as we go into the next growing season to work with. But overall, this afternoon's harvest progress is expected to be 64% complete as a nation, and that's about average on corn. Bean harvest, 70% complete as a nation, and 81% is about average. Of course, the majority of the progress is in the eastern belt here. Forecast calling, you know, for some showers and a couple isolated storms, mainly to the south here as we move through the week. So hopefully those guys will still have some harvest activity to get through, stay dry long enough to continue to get a chunk of the crop out. Technically, man, we had a good week last week, but this week here starting out, firmer in the overnight trade on the enthusiasm from the wheat market, that kind of dried up. The bean market kind of had an outside down day, which signals some chart resistance near today's highs. Then the corn market kind of had a hook reversal to the downside. So technically, we might try to follow through a little bit on Tuesday there and see if we can't get a turnaround Tuesday type of trade.
Was there any reason behind all of the move lower? Was it on the idea that the president, it might not get so far along with President Xi when they do meet in Argentina? Or, I suppose, and I saw this listed, that the Trump administration says if that doesn't work, that they're ready to put more tariffs on after the meeting in Argentina.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. Then, two, I think the trade's, looking at Brazil's 46% complete on planting progress. Last year they had 30%. And the idea is we don't have anything worked out fairly soon. We'll see some beans start being available to the world market just right after the first of the year. Then, two, just outside investor confidence is kind of on hold also. So I think it's various things in through here that kind of limited the upside. It kind of feels like we're in a trading range. I think the big crop, larger crop's going to keep a lid on prices, but pullbacks in here ought to find some support on some pent-up demand. On the export inspectors report, shipments were fairly good, and we did see a load going to China. So we are moving what we've sold, but the export sales and the export inspections report, we still got a long ways to go in that because we got till September 1st to shore all those numbers up.
I have seen reports, and we talked about this a little bit last week when we had you on Commodity Week, that basis levels, at least for corn, have gotten better. Does that surprise you very much?
Well, this quick, but it's a seasonal factor. I think producers are just wanting to store and hang on. There was a survey that said that about 58% of the crops unpriced, and that they're just going to store and see if we can't achieve some higher prices as we move forward here. I think the ability to stack the corn piles higher outside, and these bags, particularly in the southern part of the state, and the corn being very dry coming out of the field, sort of put us in a position where they socked it away. Now it's kind of like we need to see the market be bid up to kind of shake loose what needs to be sold for overflow or cash flow purposes near term.
Anything on the livestock side of the ledger before I let you go for the afternoon?
Well, we're seeing a little spunk in that cash cattle trade. Looks like we're trying to shake some loose here for pre-holiday inventories, 115 trade. These futures are 117, kind of still like that 119 to 120 is the upper end, and 115 is the lower end in through there. So the fat market could probably trade in a $5 sideways trading range here as we go into the holiday season.
Yeah, thanks so much, Kurt. Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Have you purchased your tickets for the Farm Assets Conference yet? I'll bet not. You probably should do that right now at farmassetsconference.com, willag.org. Our Farm Assets Conference takes place the 20th day of November. That's the Tuesday prior to Thanksgiving in Normal, Illinois at an absolutely gorgeous facility, the Marriott Hotel there next to the Illinois State University campus. And we'll have a great day, including a whole bunch of panels that are really important for the future of agriculture. The first one takes a look at how big companies are reaching all the way back to the farmer and tapping them on the shoulder and saying, hey, this is something we'd like, and we're going to discuss whether there are premiums and contracts that can be put in place to help you earn more money in the future. McDonald's will be there, Anheuser-Busch is going to be there. Syngenta will be with us, and we'll talk with Clarkson Grain as well. The Farm Assets Conference is the 20th day of November. The $40 it gets you in the door and buys your ticket for lunch. Parking's free, too. Should be a great day in Normal. Buy your tickets now at farmassetsconference.com. In today's agricultural news, implementing the new Farm Bill, when Congress finishes it, could prove to be a major test case for President Donald Trump's deregulatory agenda. This according to USDA's chief lawyer, Stephen Vaden. The principal deputy general counsel said the sweeping legislation will especially test a Trump administration executive order that each department or agency's regulatory activity comply with a cost cap, a version of the regulatory budget that conservatives have wanted for years. The provision was part of Mr. Trump's January 2017 executive order that more notably requires agencies to strike two existing regulations for every new one. Vaden said the lesser-known regulatory budget is a more powerful tool for enforcing deregulation across the federal government, and it will be on full display once Mr. Trump signs a new farm bill and the administration starts putting it into action. This will be the first time, he says, we will really have such a comprehensive multi-year bill as the Farm Bill seeking to be implemented under the 2017 executive order, Vaden said Friday during remarks at the American Agricultural Law Association Symposium in Portland, Oregon. He added that it will be vital to get the new Farm Bill regulations in place as quickly as possible. Vaden's remarks drew some pushback from ag lawyers in the audience. Anthony Schultz, a Nebraska College of Law professor, said that the Trump administration's approach was based on a faulty premise that regulation is inherently bad. Well, over the weekend, in a speech to the FFA that Mr. Trump made on Saturday, the president claimed credit for what he portrayed as a turnaround in the farm economy. Before the election, American farmers, he says, saw their net income plummet by one-third. Now we have increased net income by $4 billion. Farm income actually fell steadily from 2013 before rebounding in 2017, according to USDA's Economic Research Service. However, national net farm income in 2018 is forecast to drop 13% from last year, adjusting for inflation. That would bring income levels to around 15-year lows. And the economic forces driving income down are not likely to change soon. The outlook for lower net farm income and relatively weak prices for most major program crops signals the likelihood of continued relatively lean times, that according to a recent Congressional Research Service report, and of course to University of Illinois agricultural economist as well. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, joined now by agricultural economist Todd Hubbs from here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Last week, the Secretary of Agriculture, Todd, was in Champaign County, Illinois, and told producers here that there would not be a payment in lieu of the tariff and trade policies the administration has put forth, because that's now in play, and they didn't have really a chance to react to it next year. He expects them to react this year by making different choices. That means some acreage shifts. What can you tell me historically about acreage in the United States? And then we'll take a look forward.
Well, since the onset of, large expansion in soybean exports to China and the implementation of the renewable fuel standard, we've seen a large expansion in corn and soybean acreage, topping out in 2017 about 180 million acres of corn and soybean acreage. And this has been all over the country for the most part, but particularly noticeable out in the western Corn Belt in places like Kansas, North and South Dakota, where we've seen a dramatic reduction in wheat acreage, which is continuing a long-run trend of lower wheat acreage, and some small grains, depending on where you're at. And we saw cotton comes and goes, depending on what cotton prices are. But overall, a build in corn and soybean acreage. And then in 2018, we saw it come back a little bit. And I think with that announcement and the idea that there's not going to be a payment next year and the low prices we're currently seeing in soybeans, I would expect a soybean acreage adjustment lower next year. And there's a lot of expectation out there of a very large corn acreage increase. But I think when you look around, you think of the whole United States as a portfolio of crops. We're going to see probably some wheat acreage expansion, particularly spring wheat. Those prices are relatively strong. Some cotton acreage expansion. I mean, we're not talking tens of millions of acres, but one or two here and there. Some of the small grains might see some expansion. So maybe particular places in the South and the Western Corn Belt, maybe shifting back to some of their traditional crops a little bit. I don't want to say, hey, North and South Dakota, get out of our business, but it would be nice if some of that corn and soybean acreage went away. But overall, we're probably going to see higher corn acreage next year, lower soybean acreage, and some increases in the wheat acreage, depending on what kind of wheat we're talking about, and cotton acreage and some of the other small grains, depending on where you're at. I've done some calculations based on current market prices where I think they're going to be. I've got corn acreage at 91.1 million acres and soybean acreage at 85.7. But that's at current prices. If we see some kind of supply shortfall in corn, this late season problems with harvest, we get a little run, you could see that up corn acreage a little bit. If we see soybean prices continue to deteriorate, we could see even less soybean acreage. But all in all, when you take everything into account, we might be unwinding this new era. We talk about the new era of prices. Well, it led to a new era of acreage allotments. And I think maybe we're at the start of unwinding this build in corn and soybean acreage.
At least the acreage side of it, potentially not the new era price side, I would suppose.
I'm worried about that. I really am. I feel like the longer this trade issue goes on, and I don't see any resolution in the near or distant future to it, weak soybean prices, it really does change the allotment. What do we rotate with? If we keep expanding corn acreage and continue to see these unbelievable yields across the country, we might have knocked ourselves out of that new era of prices, or at least we're going to be pegged in the low range of that new era of prices for the foreseeable future.
And for what it's worth, that's where USDA has its peg now, on the bottom end over the next, 10 years or so. I think that's what their long-run numbers look like.
No, that's right. I mean, long run numbers, it, you know, we're one drought away from, you know, or some kind of resolution. But yeah, I mean, we're down in that lower range, and actually soybeans are popped out of that lower range. We're 3 standard deviations below where I would like us to be. So, you know, if we lose soybeans, like if prices stay weak, we might see a large wheat acreage expansion next year. You know, we had a good year for wheat this year. We had droughts in many parts of the world. If that doesn't happen, we up wheat acreage. You know, we get in this process where we're trying to unwind this new era, and we have weak prices across the board, which is going to make it not just about shifting crops, but maybe removing acreage in the long run. So if we don't do that, we're going to continue to see weak prices. So as I look forward to 2019, I think corn acreage will be up. Not as much as some of the we've seen some surveys. I've heard estimates of 94 million acres of corn. I think under current market prices, we won't hit that. But, you know, corn prices strengthen, we could. I've seen some estimates of soybean acreage below 83 million acres. That seems a bit far for me. I don't think that's under the current prices that we get that low. But, you know, it's feasibly. It's in the feasible set of possibilities.
Thanks so much.
Yes, sir.
Todd Hubbs is an agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason.